This is the BBC Home Service, broadcasting on the new long-wave frequency, 1,500 meters and VAT.
We apologize sincerely for that last announcer, who is now feeling a bit of a Charlie.
Yes, oh, sorry.
And now it's time for this week's special Christmas edition of The Burkis Way to Dynamic Living. Unfortunately, you're not allowed to unwrap this program until Christmas Day. And so instead, tonight we're going to show you an old film.
Okay, we're ready to roll. Get Eric Poe of Croydon on set.
Mr. Croydon wanted on set. Wanted on set, Mr. Croydon. Wanted on set, Mr. Croydon. Mr. Croydon, you wanted on set.
Pardon?
You wanted on the set, Mr. Croydon.
Yeah, all right. You can stop hitting me head with that cricket bat now.
All right, well, come on then, come on. I say, are you made up?
Yeah, it shows you the writers have got no imagination.
Well, Mr. Croydon, you know how important you are to this Columbia Pictures film. You realize? Without you, we can't start.
Oh, no, yeah.
Now then, I see you've got the long frock on, the spiky hat, and the lighted torch in your hand. Yeah, so do your best. This is a really red-hot part.
Oh, no, the bloke who lit the torch wasn't really tall enough.
Hey, yo, Mr. Croydon, are you quite clear on what you've got to do?
Yes, Mr. Man who pays me wages, yes.
Okay, right, action!
Columbia Pictures presents...
Growl!
Oh, now, back that man!
Tales from the Script. The ultimate experience. For lo, it is written in the catalogues of cosmic evil that when one world ceases to be, so shall another world spring up in its place. For when a star dies, it's usually Joe Kendall, Chris Emmett, Nigel Rees, or Fred Harris. This, then, is the true, authentic story of the baleful terrors which lie in wait for all of mankind. The horrid, unembroidered truth of the chilling menace which...
Oh, yeah. Where'd you have this tanker of dummy blood, then, Chief?
Cut! Give that idiot a part in the Tel Aviv chainsaw massacre.
Oh, but I'm not Jewish.
You will be by the end of the picture. Now, can we please get off?
So it was that on a foul night, when the black clouds sank like grotesque leaden objects in the cold grey sky, he first sighted the house, wreathed as it was in awesome melancholy. The huge door creaked open on hinges that betold the decaying passage of time in their green, mildewed oppressiveness. Beyond lay an abyss of blackness, nowhere pierced or tinged with any light, which might have betokened some sense of hope for him. Suddenly, a match was struck.
There, standing in the door. Why was a man he was. Quite short, he had a limp one. Of his eyes was missing, he... asked who it was at this time of night.
The traveller stated his business and was immediately shown upstairs through the miserable recesses of the vaulted old mansion.
The other man then walked with him along the cat, a coombs until they both came to another door on which he knocked his articles. Off clothing were all torn. He knocked on the door three times. With each hand.
Enter.
The door was opened and the newcomer found himself admitted to the inner sanctum.
Ah, come in. So,
You've come about the job as the new head narrator here, have you?
The man replied that this was indeed so.
I take it you've already met young Jobes here.
The other man stepped forward and flashed. A toothy smile, nervously fingering his great big. Spotted neckerchief, he said. Events had already taken their course. It's off to bed for me now, he said.
Jobes is the under-narrator's maid. One day he hopes to make the head narrator's maid, but I don't really think she fancies him. Anyway, first things first. I wonder if you could give me some idea how good you are. Just narrate me a quick something, would you?
The man agreed to do just that. England, 1873. A period of decency, morality, good sense, and not much work for Ken Russell. And on the throne was one of history's most outstanding monarchs.
From Her Most Royal Highness, Queen Victoria, Sovereign of Great Britain and Ireland, Empress of India, and of the British dominions beyond the seas, a defender of the faith. Dear Marge Brute, you don't know me, but I have a rather intimate problem in that... Oh, no, that's a bit of a giveaway. From Mrs. Albert Sachs Coburg-Gotha. Dear Marge Brooks, you don't know me, but I have... Oh, no, no, that's no better. No. From Worried Queen Windsor. Dear Marge Brooks, you don't know... Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, I have it, I have it. From Name and Address Supplied. Sovereign of Great Britain and Ireland, Empress of India and of the etc., etc. Dear Marge Brooks, you don't know me, but I have a rather intimate problem. Whenever my dear Albert and I are, well, alone together, I am quite unable to find someone to lie back and think of. I have tried Mrs. Edith Crint of Catford, Mr. Tilly, and John Inman. But on these occasions, Albert always seems to be a bit of a distraction. I am wondering if a crossword on the ceiling would help. Yours sincerely... Oh, Orbs. Who is that?
Ma'am. The Poet Laureate, ma'am. Alfred Lord, ma'am, Tennyson, ma'am.
Oh, all right, send him in.
Yes, ma'am. Very good, ma'am. Ma'am, ma'am.
Oh, and who's Codgers?
Ma'am.
Drop this letter in at the Daily Mirror on its way out, will you please?
Ma'am, ma'am. I shall ma'am so ma'am away.
Oh, come in, Mr. Tennyson.
Quite. Too much, your squire. A very good ear to see me, know what I mean?
Yeah? Yes, yes. Lord Tennyson.
Yeah?
We've been meaning to talk to you.
Oh, yeah? Oh, spit it out then, your tosh.
Well, it's about your latest work.
Ah, the Mort Darfur. Yeah, nice little number, innit? Ha, your governor? A real classy job, that, yeah. Mort Darfur. That's Arthur's mortuary, that means, you know, like that. In foreign, like.
Yes, yes, well, actually, we're afraid we don't really like it.
Eh? Well, you don't like it? God, don't come starting that malarkey, your squire. What's wrong with it, eh?
Well, we mean to say, look at it, it doesn't even rhyme. Listen. Unless you cough up the redies by midnight, Albert gets the concrete leg warmers.
Well, it's a sonnet.
It is not a sonnet. A sonnet is something that's got 14 lines in it.
Oh, no. You're thinking of Harold Pinter's last play. No, that's a sonnet, all right. It's like that other one I wrote, your grandma. The Lady of Shalott, you know.
The Lady of Shalott?
Yeah, you know the one. Out flew the web and floated wide. The mirror cracked from side to side.
That wasn't the Lady of Shalott.
Bloody was.
It was not. The Lady of Shalott was the one that went 5,000 G's, or we'll send you more than Albert's ear in the envelope next time.
Oh, yeah, so it was. You're right, yeah.
Quite frankly, Lord Tennyson, to our mind, your work is getting rather repetitive.
Repetitive? 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 Repetitive?
Yes.
All right. Look here, you mush. I'll tell you what. Cop a load of this one. I was up all night composing this. I called this the Lotus Eaters.
Oh, thank you. The Lotus Eaters by Alfred Lord Tennyson. In one's in a sack, or Albie goes for a one-way float down the Thames. It still doesn't really scan, does it?
Well, I'm a romantic.
We don't care.
God, blimey, naff this for a lark. So he ain't got no good either, then.
Yes, that was fine. An excellent piece of narration. You can stop now. The post of head narrator is yours.
Thank you, milady.
There's just the question now of your salary. Would you like me to pay you in money or in the middle of the night every Saturday?
In the middle of the night every Saturday, please.
Splendid. Well, off you go then, and narrate yourself into the next scene.
Very good, milady. In the weeks that followed, he soon settled into his new job below stairs.
Rose? Rose, you do. Have you seen Rose anywhere?
No, Rose, that I haven't. The last I saw of Rose, she was giving Rose a hand because Rose was off sick.
Come along, everyone. Stop chattering. Especially you, Rose. We've a link to get ready for her ladyship. Oh, dear, look at these, Rose.
Yes, Mr. Scrimspen.
These descriptive similes you've just been preparing are an absolute disgrace. Look at them. As the clock struck 12, the gloomy old house was as empty as an Irishman's stomach on St. Patrick's night.
Sorry, Mr. Grimsby.
Oh, this, outside, the wind howled like a cat undoing its trousers too fast.
I'm sorry, sir.
Or darkness fell over the countryside in a fashion not dissimilar to if you'd just had your eyes poked out with a knitting needle. Rose, what has happened to these similes?
Well, I'm sorry, sir. They just sort of flopped. Well, Rose will tell you, or ask Rose.
Rose is right, Mr. Thrimspon. The conditions we have to work in here getting these narrations ready is terrible, sir. Only one name between the lot of us. It didn't ought to be allowed. I haven't even had time to finish off me words yet.
Well, I'm sorry, Rose, but this link will have to go up to her ladyship as it is now, whether the words are finished or not. Rose, hand me that dish of music. Was a cold black nig in the middle of wind. A ferocious icy gay was whistling out Sid. And as the storm grew more diabolic, Ray began to pour down all over every corn of the dusty old man, soaking ivy on the marble pill and drenching the flying butt. These were the conditions in which the first guests began to arrive for the reading of Lord Hackenbuttle's last will and test.
Wake up, Master Hackenbuttle. We're there.
What? Oh, thank you, coachman. Good Lord, I've just had the most terrible nightmare.
Oh, well, I hope I didn't keep you awake. This is where you get out, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, good evening. Come in. You must be young Mr. Timothy Hackenbottomo.
That's right, yes.
The one with the, you know.
You know,
What?
I do indeed, sir, but I'll say nothing.
Say nothing about what?
About you being unable to... Oh, very good. You almost caught me up there, sir. Yes. No. You can rely on my tact completely, sir.
Right then. Well, anyway, where are the rest of the family?
As far as I'm concerned, you're as regular as clockwork. Now then, I'll just take your coat. What I mean is, sir, if we both play this very carefully, I think we can convince the others you've got no problem in the once-a-day department whatsoever. We'll just tell them it's a nervous twitch.
Now, look here. I don't know what it is you're trying to suggest. Absolutely nothing wrong with my morning rehabit.
Really, sir?
Well, definitely. Now, will you please show me in?
Oh, yes, sir, certainly. It's the third door on the left over there, sir.
Into the study.
Oh, I see. Right then. You are sure?
Of course I'm sure.
I mean, it's all right, sir. You can rely on me. I'd never tell the others.
Can we please go in now?
Certainly, sir. Mr. Timothy Heckenbottomer, with a slight stomach problem, if you know what I mean.
Now, just a minute.
Oh, it's quite all right, sir. I am discretion itself. Now, would you care for a little something?
Yes, please.
Very good, sir, very good. One double all brand coming up. There you are, sir.
Hey, wait. Hey, come back here, you.
Pay no attention to our butler, Timothy. He spent 16 years in a golden egg restaurant.
Oh, as a cook?
No, waiting to be served. Now then, I think we all know why we're here today, to listen to my husband's will.
Thank you, my lady, exactly. So, with your permission, Lady Heckenbottomer, I'll now read it out. I, Lord Norman St. John Heckenbottomer, being of sound radio and a fully discharged member of the Liberal Party, do solemnly bequeath my bequest as follows. One, to Rodney the hairdresser and all aboard HMS Choreographic Tendencies, nothing. Nothing at all. Two, to County Councillor Ron Used Notes Henderson and the rest at D Block Maximum Security Wing, nothing whatsoever in any shape or form, not even a bit. Three, to Luigi Muggsy Kneecaps Lawnmower Al and all the other charity collectors, to whom I generously donate $2,000 a month, F.A. That quantity of cash represented by the zero sign, nil pennies. Four, to Chief Inspector Sharp Truncheon Prondergast.
Excuse me, I do hate to butt in, but could we get on to the people who have been left something?
Certainly, lady. Right, let's see now. Lockheed, Leyland Overseas Division, Massage International Limited, Mildoon Magruder, Stifco 24-hour shuttle service. Ah, yes, here we are. Some people who have actually been left something. To my nephew, Clarence Heckenbottomer, I leave a rather nasty substance.
A what?
A rather nasty substance. To my grandson, Ethel, I leave another nasty substance.
What do you mean, another nasty substance?
Well, it says here a substance not quite as nasty as the one left to Clarence, but certainly none too pleasant by even the most liberal standards.
What else does it say?
To the northern polar regions of my mother-in-law, I leave a thing not nice at all in any respects, even when your eyes are closed. Yes. To the father of my children and the horse that pulls his float, I leave that which it would not be considered seemly to shove through somebody's letterbox, no matter how much they got up your nose.
This is monstrous. What have I been left?
Oh, yes. To my young son, Timothy, I leave... Oh, dear.
What?
To my young son, Timothy, I leave a box of something singularly repellent and in no way prim and proper, plus a 4-year supply of refills.
There must be something nice he's left someone.
Oh, yes, here it is. To my dear, trusting, and ever faithful pair of rabbits, Norman, Edith, Jim, Rodney, Clement, Russell, and Edna, I leave the Pennsylvania Station. About 4:15, I read a magazine, and then I'm in Baltimore. Dinner in the diner, nothing could be finer
than to have your ham and eggs in Carolina.
When you hear the whistle blowing, eight to the bar, then you know your destination's not very far. Shovel all the coal in, gotta keep a rolling. Chattanooga, there you are.
A boom, boom.
Chattanooga,
a Chattanooga.
A boom, boom.
Chattanooga, a Chattanooga.
All aboard.
Chattanooga, a Chattanooga.
Just a minute. What are we doing? This will isn't getting us anywhere.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. I think this whole business of Lord Hackenbottom's will and testament is completely absurd.
Why?
Well, for a start, you're Lord Hackenbottomo. And you're not even dead yet.
Well, I never said I was.
Well, what are you reading your own will out for, then?
Well, because I understand it better than anyone else.
But you're not dead.
I've got a gumboil.
It's not enough. Clarence, what do you think?
Riding on the train. Well, sorry. Oh, yes. Well, to be honest, I've had the feeling there's something strange about this film ever since I first arrived here.
I think you've put your finger on it.
No, it's probably just cramp.
No, there is something weird about all this. It's beginning to frighten me. I tell you, the script is possessed. It's alive.
Exactly. That's why the will was so ridiculous. We've got no control over our own lino cut away. Come away with William Tell, Aunt Rhody, for Captain Beefheart, Jumpstart in early autumn.
We must get out of this script fast. Come with me. I know a secret passageway to page 45. Through here. Here we are.
Good morning, sir. Welcome to Nose City, sir. One of Harley Street's most sophisticated centres of sinus research and nasal grooming. What can I do for you?
Well, the thing is, I've come about my nose.
Well, I can see that, can't I?
Pardon?
Blimey, big! I should go, go. Lawrence, over here a minute. That's a real whopping great sniffer you got there, all right. A real king-size anky filler.
Well, yes, I know it is a little prominent, but that's
well,
why...
Well, Lawrence, have you got a second? You're saddled with a real gargantuan snorter there and nowhere. A real family-sized sneeze box. I bet when you get a cold, it's a real Mount Etna job. Hey, Lawrence!
I say, would you mind being a bit quiet?
I'm being as quiet as I can. Go on, dear. Lawrence! Yeah, I bet you have trouble landing at New York Airport, eh?
Now, look, could you just show me the plastic surgery department, please?
Oh, you mean the congacking bay? Oh, yeah, well, straight through here, son. Better make sure you're facing forwards. The door's only 3 feet wide.
Thank you.
Hey, Lord, come and look.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Hello, I've come about...
Your nose. Well, that's quite all right. We're all in the same boat here. Now, what can Dr. Streisand and I do for you?
Well, I thought the size of
it... yes, size. Yes, very wise, if I may say so, sir.
Very wise, sir. How much bigger do you want it?
Pardon?
How much bigger?
I don't want it any bigger.
Now, don't be shy. We've come to terms with ours. Shall I tell him, Dr. Bygraves?
Well, all right, yes.
Both Dr. Bygraves and myself are wearing completely undetectable nose extensions.
What, those rubber things?
What rubber things?
Those rubber things stuck over your nose with an elastic band.
Now then. Just a bit off the top, is it, sir?
If you could, please.
Right, leave this to me, Doctor. I'll just measure him up, first of all.
Well, that is, if he's not too much trouble.
Oh, no, of course not, I am a qualified surveyor. Now, just hold this end of the tape measure while I see how long your nose is.
Right.
I won't be a second.
a reverse charge call from the end of your nose, will you pay for the call?
Certainly.
Hello, sir. I can take it in a bit under the arms for £16 million. But it won't be till next week.
Oh, blow it.
Well, that'll be another 14,000 for the tender.
Oh, all right, then. You better go ahead.
Right. Dr. Streisand will give you an anaesthetic.
Yes. Just breathe in deeply, sir. That's it. Very deeply. Now, hang on while I get the mallet.
Wake up! Wake up, Master Hackenbottom! We're there!
What? Oh, thank you, coachman. Good Lord, I've just had the most terrible nightmare.
We apologize for the rather absurd announcement earlier on that just because it's Christmas, you are not yet permitted to unwrap this week's humorous wireless program, The Berkey's Way to Dynamic Living. This announcement had no business being announced and has now been sacked. This means there's now a vacancy for a new BBC announcement, and auditions are now being held to find a suitable replacement for...
No, I don't think so, really. Thank you. Don't call us, announcement 45. We'll call you. Next announcement, please. Right, off you go.
Well, this roll of fancy paper just about wraps up another seasonal edition of our amazing correspondence course in dynamic living. The set of matching socks and mothballs came with lots of love from Auntie Jo Kendall and Auntie Chris Emmett. The toy train set came from Auntie Nigel Reese, and the selection box was worn by Grampy Fred Harris. Labels on the presents would have been written by Andrew Marshall and David Renwick if they'd managed to find the tags. And the fairy sitting on top of the Christmas tree assures us he enjoys every minute of it. The Beggar's Way is produced by John Lloyd of Europe, but we're afraid we can't change him. See you next week, folks. Till then, happy dynamic living.
No, we'd never be able to finish a show with that. Get off. Next announcement, please.
Tonight's concert, which begins in half an hour, consists of two major works by Liszt. Tonight's concert, which begins in half an hour, consists of two major works by Liszt.